Now, Ask Dr. Love with psychotherapist, author, love, and relationship expert, Dr. Jamie Turndorf. For expert advice on love and relationships, you can submit your questions online at AskDrLove.com or call 866-338-9663 during the live broadcast. You can also listen live and download the free show at Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Now, here's Dr. Love.
Hello and welcome to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf and it is my pleasure to be with you again today. So I have a question for you. Have you ever thought about why God gave you two ears and only one mouth? I bet you never thought about it, but there's a reason why. God gave us two ears and one mouth so that we will listen more and speak less. Now, you know, so much of my work is about helping people resolve their conflicts. That's what my first Hay House book is about, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, my proven conflict resolution method. And I want you to know that on the road to conflict resolution, listening is the superhighway. So I guess it's no surprise to you that listening is nearly absent in conflicted relationships. But the problem is when you don't feel heard, your quote-unquote discussions cycle out of control, and no resolution occurs. And in this climate, couples start to get terminally ticked off. So the next time your hot topic resurfaces, you're even more likely to blast your partner. So the problem is when you come at your partner with both barrels, then your partner wants to put up his or her dukes rather than prick up his or her ears. And the louder you get, the less your partner wants to listen, and then he or she starts defending and justifying and counter-blaming, and in no time, you have a major vicious cycle on your hands that has divorce and even domestic violence written all over it. In fact, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye talks about this specific fight pattern. It's called the demand withdrawal, negative escalation cycle, or husband withdrawal for short. And no, I'm not talking about a natural form of birth control here. I'm talking about the pattern that is predominant in most couples where one partner is doing the demanding and attacking and blaming, and then the other gets activated and withdraws verbally by defending and justifying and making excuses, or even physically withdraws. The fight-flight response is what this is. And then sometimes when fights go on for too long, partners don't even have a chance to withdraw, and then if they're predisposed to physical violence, then they may become physically abusive before they have a chance to withdraw. So I bet you're wondering, how can you break free of this cycle, this number one fight pattern, number one cause of divorce, breakups, and domestic violence? Well, that's what Kiss Your Fights is all about. And I'm just going to give you a few tips today. And the most important thing I want you to get out of today's show is that listening to each other is the most powerful conflict resolution tool in your arsenal. So before we roll up our sleeves and master listening skills, I want you to identify and eliminate three behaviors that are the polar opposites of good listening. And these are defending, justifying, and counterblaming. Counterblaming is turning the tables back on your partner. So I want to give you an example of each of these three behaviors. First, let's do defending and justifying. Now, here's an example. Mary tells Peter that she's hurt because he forgot her birthday. Now, instead of listening and understanding her pain, he defends and justifies his mistake by saying, well, I had a good reason for forgetting. I got caught up preparing our taxes, and I forgot to check my calendar. Okay? Not good. Next one is counterblaming. So Mary tells Peter she's upset because he forgot to take his turn grocery shopping. Instead of listening and understanding, Peter counterblames and says, well, you forgot to wash my laundry yesterday. No good. So I bet you're wondering why so many couples resort to defending and justifying and counterblaming instead of listening. Well, the answer is actually so simple. In distressed relationships, listening has been lacking for so long that both partners feel starved to be heard. And not trusting that the other is going to listen, both partners jump in at the same time, shoving their points down each other's throats. So here's the bottom line. Listening is the cement of a happy relationship or marriage. And to avoid breakups and divorce, you have to vow to move heaven and earth to do a better job of truly listening to each other. Okay? So you may be wondering, well, how can I be a good listener? The way to become a good listener is for you and your partner to take turns being both the speaker and the listener. So for starters, practice with a topic that hasn't reached subatomic proportions. And let each partner who's presenting the issue have what I call the emotional right of way to speak first. And don't worry, the listener is going to get his or her turn to be heard. Now, when the speaker feels completely heard and understood, it's time to switch roles. Now, since you're perfecting your listening skills, it's important to know that being a good listener is more than passing a hearing test. If a listener just sits quietly and says nothing in response, then the speaker's going to think, I'm talking to a gerbil. So good listeners are masters at conveying in various ways that they've heard and understood what has been said. So to become a good listener, both you and your partner have to master the following three skills. The first one I call mirroring. With mirroring, the listener restates exactly what has been said. And the listener has to be careful not to overuse this skill, or else he or she is going to sound like Polly the Parrot. So here's what mirroring sounds like. The speaker says, I'm so sad that my boss is retiring. The mirroring back partner says, you're sad your boss is retiring. Now, the second skill in listening that you want to perfect is called restating. Now, with this, the listener repeats in his or her own words what the speaker has said. So here's an example. The speaker says, I'm so sad that my boss is retiring. Now, the partner who's restating says, your boss's retirement really has you down, huh? Notice also I put the question in the end. I like when you do questions because then you're leaving room for your partner to say, well, yes or not exactly, okay? Now, this leads us into the third listening skill, which I call questioning to clarify. So with this skill, the listener questions, not challenges, just questions the speaker to make sure that he or she is clear on what the speaker has said. And if the listener has understood, the speaker confirms that fact. And if the listener's off the mark, the speaker restates his or her position, and once again, the listener asks questions until there's a meeting of the minds. So if you were going to do a drawing of the questioning to clarify skill, it would look like loops within loops. And the listener's job is to just keep looping back until the speaker and the listener are on the same page, meaning that the listener has completely understood the speaker. You got that? I think you do. Now, I want to take a sec to talk with you about what I call listening roadblocks. Sometimes we fail in our attempts to listen because we simply can't understand why our mates feel the way they do about a given situation. So if you or your partner finds yourself facing this obstacle, then I want to give you an exercise that's going to help you put yourself on your mate's emotional side of the fence. And when you practice this skill, forget the particular situation that's upsetting your partner, and instead just focus on the feelings that he or she is having. And then think of a situation that has triggered similar feelings in you. And when you're on the same emotional page as your partner, you're going to find it easier to identify with and listen to your partner's feelings. Now, guilt is another really common listening roadblock, especially for guys. Because when a guy is told that he said or did something to upset his wife or his girlfriend, all the bells and whistles go off inside him. Because don't forget, guys are socialized to protect and care for their partners, their wives, and their kids. So when a guy is told that he failed in his job as a man and a husband, guilt starts working overtime. And this causes him to switch into the other role that he was socialized to play, which is the doer and the fixer. So now he makes it his job to make his boo-boo go bye-bye. Now, unfortunately, since he's not been socialized to handle the emotional side of life, he's going to be clueless on how to ease your pain. So the poor guy is going to resort to sentences like, don't feel that way or don't be upset. And unfortunately, these responses infuriate the partner who's already upset about something, because being told to get over it is majorly annoying when all the woman wants is to be heard and understood. So, ladies, have patience with a guilt-riddled macho man. Remember, he only wants to make you feel better. He just doesn't know how to go about doing it. So I want to give you a sentence that's going to help most guys grasp that the way to fix your pain is to simply listen and understand, nothing more. And here's the sentence. I know you want to help me feel better. Just listening is all I need. Try that sentence and watch the magic that happens. Now, if your partner still finds it hard to listen to you, then I want to give you a hypothetical situation that's going to help him or her understand what you need. Try saying, listen, if you accidentally trip on my foot and you break it, my foot still hurts, and I need to be consoled. Now, I know you didn't mean to hurt or upset me, but I still need you to understand my pain. The pain hurts. The foot hurts, whether you meant to or not. So as you master the art of listening with your heart, you're going to be amazed to discover that many of your conflicts melt like snow cones in summer. And when your conflict is on the back burner, your love is finally going to assume its proper front and center position. So to find a complete discussion of how to overcome all your impasses to good listening, read the book Kiss Your Fights Goodbye. This is my first Hay House book, and you're going to see the results of my decades of observational research, which I've done out of my Center for Emotional Communication here in New York State. My research has shown that how you communicate what is bothering you is going to either make your partner want to listen and respond, or make him or her want to take a hike. So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about how you can create an emotional climate that makes your partner, your lover, your spouse, want to hear what you're feeling and work at achieving a resolution to your gripes. So I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Ask Dr. Love is now on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every second and fourth Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Jamie Turndorf, a.k.a. Ask Dr. Love, is a psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert who offers advice and answers to your relationship questions. Hear about Dr. Love's groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique that enables you to reconnect and make peace with a loved one. This show is for you, the listener, and Dr. Love wants to hear from you. Call 866-338-9663 or 617-237-1234. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. AskDrLove.com is the web's premier relationship advice site since 1995. Visit AskDrLove.com to search thousands of Dr. Love's relationship advice columns or submit a question to her free advice column. Don't be shy. Dr. Turndorf wants to help you. So take advantage of this unique opportunity to get a personal answer from one of today's most respected experts.
This show is for you, the listener. So if you have a question for her, call in during the live show broadcast. Or catch the show every Wednesday and Thursday at 1 p.m. and 1 a.m. Eastern Time on DreamVision7Radio.com. Now, back to Dr. Love. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. AskDrLove.com is the web's premier relationship advice site since 1995. Visit AskDrLove.com to search thousands of Dr. Love's relationship advice columns or submit a question to her free advice column. Don't be shy. Dr. Turndorf wants to help you. So take advantage of this unique opportunity to get a personal answer from one of today's most respected experts. This show is for you, the listener. So if you have a question for her, call in during the live show broadcast. Or catch the show every Wednesday and Thursday at 1 p.m. and 1 a.m. Eastern Time on DreamVision7Radio.com. Now, back to Dr. Love.
Welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and I'm talking about why God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth, so we will listen more and talk less. So, as I was saying before I went to break, being a good listener requires a partner who knows how to communicate what's bothering him or her in a way that helps you want to listen and respond. So one of the hardest things to realize is that the words, the timing, the tone, and the body language you use when you're speaking with your partner about what's bugging you will determine whether your partner pricks up his ears or goes stone deaf on you. So my point is, how well your partner's ears function is literally in your hands. So before you even think of bringing up what's bugging you, you need to prepare yourself for the discussion. Now, I know this sounds unspontaneous, and it is, because most people in distressed relationships go off half-cocked, and they start acting on their angry feelings, and they blast each other. And as you've probably discovered, no productive conversation can occur when everyone is venting raw, unfiltered emotions. So I want to give you 6 preparatory steps that you have to take before you even think of discussing your actual gripe with your partner. So the first step, I call it cool your jets. So the cooler you are when you discuss your beef, the more your partner is going to want to hang in there and listen to you. So before you open your mouth to speak, you got to swallow a chill pill. Remember, when you're hot under the collar, you're more likely to resort to what I call fight traps. These are those faulty, dysfunctional fighting tactics that we learn from our parents and that we use automatically. But fight traps send your partner psychologically or literally packing. So if you come at your partner with heat, your partner's going to be deaf to your words. You're not going to have somebody who's going to listen if you don't cool your jets. Now, here's your second preparatory step. Speaking of heat, you got to be aware of your fight traps creeping onto the scene. Now, in Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, I talk about open and secret warfare fight traps. They're both faulty, and they heat the climate. They cause a biochemical imbalance that causes husband or boyfriend withdrawal. And you aren't going to be heard if he's gone. So if you sense a fight trap brewing, bury the trap right away. And I want you to be a fight trap tag team. So if either of you senses a fight trap is in the making, point it out and help each other to not go there. Okay? Now, there's a whole chapter in Kiss Your Fights Goodbye on fight traps. And I break them down into open warfare and secret warfare. You got to become an expert at identifying all your own fight traps. And the way we identify them is you read that chapter and you say, oh, I do this and I do that, and your partner says the same, I do that one and I do this one. And then you start to work to catch each other and catch yourselves, because you're fighting for the team. And so you have to agree, I'm not going to use a fight trap that's going to heat this climate and make my partner not listen to me, and vice versa. Okay. Now here's your next preparatory step. I call it drain off your anger. So I want you to do whatever you need to do privately to lighten your emotional load. Punch a pillow, scream in the shower, call a friend. bitch him out in your mind. Fantasize about braining him with a bat, knowing you're not going to actually act on your thoughts and feelings. Okay? Now, step four is figure out what old scars have been awakened in you. So when your feelings are very strong and you can't seem to shake them, it's because the current incident with your partner has ripped off the scab of an old wound from childhood. I call this the emotional lake effect. So stay with me. You know the actual lake effect, where a storm gathers force as it sweeps across the Great Lakes, dips into the reservoir of water and picks up moisture and then creates a much bigger storm than it dumps on the leeward shores of the lake. Well, our unconscious minds work in the exact same way. We're constantly comparing present-day events with the wounds we suffered as kids. And as we dip into the reservoir of our unconscious memory bank, we're dredging up a monsoon of emotions from similar events when we were children. And this is all happening unconsciously, so we don't even know that we're actually reacting to so many other events from when we were young, okay? So when you feel you have a very strong feeling, it seems disproportionate to the current triggering event, and you can't seem to shake it, you know an old scar from childhood has been awakened. So I want you to figure out what wound has been activated in you. And separating then from now is going to help you cool down. And you're going to use this knowledge to help you explain the deeper reasons behind why you were so upset with your partner. Hearing that it isn't 100% his fault or her fault is actually going to help your partner feel empathy for you. And it's going to transform your partner from enemy to ally, because now, oh my goodness, what I said reminded you of what your mom did or your dad did. Now I feel sorry for you. I want to help you to heal. I want to listen, and I want to understand you. Okay? Now, the fifth preparatory step is dig up love. So when you're boiling mad, it's hard to remember that you really do love your partner. So to dig up love, I want you to recall the early days of your relationship or a special day you spent together. The feelings of love can temper your temper. Okay? Now, here's your sixth preparatory step. Think before you speak. Before you say a single word about what's bugging you, ask yourself first, will what I intend to say damage my partner? If your answer is yes, then put a sock in it. Remember, anything you say or do boomerangs back on you. So if you hurt or damage your partner, you're hurting your relationship and yourself. So from this day on, I want you to vow to only say what you know is going to be constructive and lead to a productive discussion. And that means that you're going to have to, at least in the beginning, plan out what you're going to say before you say it. Now, I know all this prep is a major pita, but you're probably thinking, come on, it'd be so much easier to just brain him with a frying pan or brain her. But it's a no-brainer that acting on your raw feelings, speaking from this place, doesn't invite a receptive listening ear. If you don't have a receptive partner who wants to listen, you're never going to resolve your conflicts. And obviously, unresolved conflicts are the number one killer of love. So if you want your partner to listen to you, you need to cool yourself down before you present your gripes. Cooling yourself down is going to set the stage for a successful discussion in which your partner is going to want to listen, understand, and work at resolving your issue. Okay? So in the final part of Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, I show you how to word your issue correctly using my XY formula. It's proven. It works. You just use it no matter what your issue is, and you are going to be amazed at how you are able to handle your conversations effectively. So let me give you a couple of tweets to help you remember the main points of what we've discussed today. So first of all, take a chill pill before you speak, and if needed, glue closed your beak. Here's another. If you keep allowing your emotional temperature to spike, your partner is going to take a hike. And here's another, be cool, not cruel. And zip your lip till you're sure you won't flip. And last but not least, fight for the team, not the individual players. If you focus on winning the battle, you're going to lose your relationship. Turn down the volume when you speak, or else you'll permanently turn off your partner. Okay? Let me take a sec. You know, my second half book, Love Never Dies, shares my incredible eternal love story. So everything that I'm talking about with you, I perfected not only out of my Center for Emotional Communication with my patients, I perfected it with my husband. And our love connection is so strong, it has survived the death barrier. That's what Love Never Dies is all about, that I show you how to reconnect with your loved ones in spirit, and then how to go a step farther and bring my conflict resolution method to the world of after-death communication to heal any unfinished business you have with those in spirit. And believe me, we all have unfinished business, and Western grief therapy offers us no way of working it out. So if you want to reconnect, if you want to obtain guidance, if you want to heal unfinished business, Love Never Dies is for you. And Love Never Dies, there are many ways for you to receive healing from this book. I'm also doing retreats, and I'm doing retreats at Kripalu this summer, and also at Lilydale. I'll be doing a floating retreat in January on the Spirit at Sea cruise. My events are closing down very fast because I'm told that they're getting overbooked. So if you want to join me and have me work with you live, sign up for one of my live events, and then we can bring Love Never Dies to life for you and help you reconnect and even make peace with a loved one in spirit. All right, I'm going to take a brief break, and I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Ask Dr. Love is now on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every second and fourth Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Jamie Turndorf, a.k.a. Ask Dr. Love, is a psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert who offers advice and answers to your relationship questions. Hear about Dr. Love's groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique that enables you to reconnect and make peace with a loved one. This show is for you, the listener, and Dr. Love wants to hear from you. Call 866-338-9663 or 617-237-1234. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you yearn to get along better with your life partner or spouse, friends, family members, or even coworkers, Dr. Turndorf's Hay House book, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, Dr. Love's 10 Simple Steps to Cooling Conflict and Rekindling Your Relationship, shows you how to turn conflict into connection for a lifetime of lasting love. Find out more about this book at AskDrLove.com. This is Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. This show is for you, the listener, and Dr. Love wants to hear from you. You can submit your questions at AskDrLove.com. Or if you're listening in real time, you can speak to Dr. Turndorf live by calling 866-338-9663. To listen live and download the free archive show, go to DreamVision7Radio.com. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and I'm talking about how you can listen your way to love. So if you're tuning in late, the first two segments were all about that. And this is the time in the show where I want to answer some questions that have come through to the Ask Dr. Love site. Oh, and by the way, I forgot to also tell you something so important. I want to thank you because just last week, Love Never Dies, I sold a contract to have the book translated into 34 languages worldwide, and the audiobook as well will be in 34 languages. The overwhelming success to this book is proof of how much we all need to reconnect and stay connected to our loved ones in spirit. And I couldn't have gotten here without all of your wonderful support in making Love Never Dies become such a bestseller. So thank you, and I'm celebrating with you. Now, the first question I want to answer is called Depressed Boyfriend. And here's the question. Dear Dr. Love, I've been with my boyfriend for almost 2 years now, and lately everything around him is crashing down. I tried to explain everything is going to get better in his life, and it just gets worse. His car has broken down for 4 months. His sister screwed him over. He owes $4,000 to her apartments. Then someone stole his phone. His grandma went into the hospital. That's just a few of the things that he's going through. And I keep trying to tell him it's going to be okay. And now he's to the point where he just doesn't believe me anymore. He's doubting himself. And I wonder what I can do to help him through these hard times. I'm worried he doesn't see the good things he has, and the bad things are just dragging him down. And what's going to happen to us if he stays so depressed? What can I do? Please help me. So I'm sure all of you have been in a situation where your partner is down. Life has dealt him or her a lot of blows. How can you be there with your partner, especially and be there for your partner, when your partner is really not available to the relationship? So here's what I said to this woman. I hear that you're terrified and you're afraid that your relationship isn't going to survive his depression. And obviously that's why you want to help him feel better so that he can get back on the horse and not really implode you and the relationship along with it. So the thing we have to remember is we can't change somebody else's mood. He's responsible for his mood, not you. So I can share some pointers that you can share with him, but then he's got to take the ball and run with it. So first off, I want to say that your boyfriend is experiencing an emotional, psychological, and spiritual crisis. On the emotional, psychological front, it would be good for him to know that he's depressed because he hasn't accessed his feelings of anger over life not going his way. When a person is angry and doesn't know it or buries the anger, that feeling often morphs into depression. So it sounds to me like he's also engaging in self-attack. You said he's doubting himself. Now, self-attack is a common byproduct of buried anger. So in other words, rather than turning the anger outward, it gets turned back on the self in the form of self-blame, self-doubt, self-attack. And when a person accesses the real feelings of anger, depression generally lifts, and the self-attack usually lifts too. Now, depression can also come from feeling powerless. So when I was reading your boyfriend's tale of woe, it occurred to me that he's powerless in life. Now, of course, we have to accept that. We are powerless to control so many aspects of this world. But that said, there are some things that we do have control over. And some of the things that have happened to him, I'm admitting he has no control over, like grandma going to the hospital. But there are other aspects of his life in which I think he could exert more control, and that would help him feel less powerless. So, for example, his car being broken down for 4 months, maybe due to lack of funds to fix it. So here's where he could take stock in his life and maybe make some changes that would, in the long run, improve his status in life and give him more income and therefore more power. So he might consider going back to school, so he could get a better job and make more money and get out of debt. Now, I want to also talk about the spiritual dimension. I sense that your boyfriend lacks a strong faith base. So without a foundation of spiritual or religious faith, a person can easily tank in the face of stress. Faith provides us a perspective that helps us through the hard times. So, for example, when life is grounded in faith, you find it easier to accept life's struggles. When you have faith, you know that life isn't supposed to be easy. Life is a veil of tears. And when you know this, you don't crumble when the tough times come. You know that life also beats us down to break us open, to teach us empathy for others who are in pain. So remember, when we learn this empathy, it's also helpful to us to remember others have it way worse than we do, and to be grateful for the trials we do have, because the hardest times are laid before us so we can master our own spiritual lessons. So through it all, we know that God and our loved ones in spirit are here to hold our hand and support us through the hard times. That's where reconnecting is so important, because in Love Never Dies, in your darkest hours, when you're grieving the apparent loss of a loved one, as you reconnect, as they show you to do, you can feel the love surrounding you. You don't feel so alone, and this helps you lift out of the pit. And it's also helpful, too, to remind yourself when tough times are happening, nothing lasts forever. So share some of my points with him, and I am really praying that this broader perspective is going to help him feel better. Okay. Now, here's another question. And this one is, I'm still in love with my ex, but I really wish I wasn't. Dear Dr. Love, I've known my ex for years. Since the first day we met, we immediately connected. We're both 16, and we're neighbors. And I know there are people out there that say you can't experience love and heartbreak at such a young age, but honestly, it kills me inside as I sit and think about things every night and as I'm writing this. We started going out at the beginning of March last year, and it lasted around 5 months. He was the one who had actually ended it, still unsure why. I came back to England after vacation and went on my phone to find a message on a social networking site, and it killed me inside as I truly did love him more than anyone before. After the breakup, we stopped talking to each other, which was hard. Since we'd been such good friends before, talking to each other every day, to not talking to each other at all. Only a few weeks later, I heard from other people that he was now seeing another girl that I went to school with. Now, almost a year later, I got a text message from my ex saying how sorry he was for everything and how he regrets everything he did. And he was still with the same girl he was with before, but he was kind of flirting. He told me how he and his girlfriend were literally at break point as they were always arguing, and he said he wanted to see me again. I wasn't sure if I should meet him because he was still in a relationship. It's been nearly a month since they broke up, and we're still talking. I know that if we did start seeing each other again, then there's no chance it could ever be like it used to be. Also, if we did end up breaking up again, then I wouldn't want to go back to not talking to him again. I love talking to him. I'd love to stay friends, but I just have no idea what to do. I love him still. I wish I didn't love him, but I can't help it. Should I stop talking to him altogether? Should I tell him how I feel? I've tried talking to my friends about the situation, but they don't really know what to do either. So the bottom line is, I'm still in love with my ex, but really wish I wasn't. What do I do? Please help me. It's been bothering me for quite a while now. All right, well, I want to answer this question, and I'm afraid that I'm not going to be able to finish my answer, so I'll start, and then if we have to take a break, I'll come back to my answer. So it's clear, I'm sure everybody listening has experienced something similar to this, where you break up but you still love your ex. And, of course, I think it was Blaise Pascal who said, "Le cœur a ses raisons que la raison ne connaît point." The heart has its reasons that reason doesn't understand. We can't help who we love, right? You can't help it, even though you wish you didn't. So it sounds like you're afraid that, number one, you're not going to experience this time around the wonderful relationship that you had the last time around because the breakup kind of broke your heart and broke this bond. And the second thing it sounds like you're afraid of is if you break up again, you're afraid that you're going to have to live through the pain you recently suffered of losing the friend that you love talking to. So I think you're worried that if you break up again, you'll lose your friend, and above all, you want to keep him as a friend, correct? So let's take a brief break, and when we come back, I'm going to answer this question more fully. I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
the Mind Health Coach with Leah Marie every fourth Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Come explore with us natural and healthy ways to achieve inner peace, happiness, and an ever-present state of well-being. You're already healed. You just haven't realized it yet. When you're ready, you can change your mind and change your life forever. The power of a beautiful life is within you today. Mind Health Coach with Leah Marie is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
The Dream Vision 7 Radio Network presents Kids for Love. It's a project, a mission, and a radio show. Come join Deborah Beauvais and her young co-hosts every second Sunday at 6 p.m. as we celebrate kids making a difference. We invite other kids to join in for the spirited conversation filled with creative ideas and possibilities to start their own mission. Let's raise the bar together and cultivate a kinder world by getting inspired to help others in need. Kids for Love Project. Celebrating kids that empower others. That's every second Sunday at 6 p.m.
Ask Dr. Love is now on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network every second and fourth Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Jamie Turndorf, a.k.a. Ask Dr. Love, is a psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert who offers advice and answers to your relationship questions. Hear about Dr. Love's groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique that enables you to reconnect and make peace with a loved one. This show is for you, the listener, and Dr. Love wants to hear from you. Call 866-338-9663 or 617-237-1234.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you or someone you know has lost a loved one, Dr. Turndorf's best-selling Hay House book, Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased, presents her groundbreaking new transdimensional grief therapy method, which offers the first vehicle in history for reconnecting and making peace with the deceased. Sign up for Dr. Love's free newsletter at AskDrLove.com and receive an exciting gift. A free excerpt of Love Never Dies. Now, back to Dr. Love. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you or someone you know has lost a loved one, Dr. Turndorf's best-selling Hay House book, Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased, presents her groundbreaking new transdimensional grief therapy method, which offers the first vehicle in history for reconnecting and making peace with the deceased. Sign up for Dr. Love's free newsletter at AskDrLove.com and receive an exciting gift. A free excerpt of Love Never Dies. Now, back to Dr. Love.
Welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and I'm answering a question from a woman who's still in love with her ex but wishes she weren't. So, from my perspective, the guy is fickle, impulsive, and not trustworthy because he broke up with you in an immature and heartless way. He did it on a social networking site, no less. He didn't even have the decency to tell you why. So he essentially killed you off by making a one-sided decision to end it and then cut off communications with you. A few weeks later, he was already seeing another girl. And I suspect he's already begun something with her. And I suspect that he had begun something with her when he was still your boyfriend. Then he started flirting with you while he was still with this other girl. So it would seem to me that he saw that his other relationship was tanking, and before he jumped ship, he made sure to line you up and have you waiting in the wings so he wouldn't be without a girlfriend. So I don't trust him, and I'm worried for you. So you asked if you should just talk to him and date him again, or stop communications and just be friends, or just be friends. So you need to be savvy and protect yourself, and you should be fearful, you should be wary, and you should be filled with doubts about this guy based on his past behavior. The point is CYA, you know what those letters stand for, meaning do not put your butt in the Siberian winds. So before you would even consider being his friend, let alone his girlfriend, you need to have some answers to quite a few questions. For example, I want to know what happened last time around. What wasn't working for him in the relationship? Why does he think the relationship would be more satisfactory to him this time around? How are you supposed to understand his 180-degree shift from being your best friend to nothing with no warning? Was he thinking about breaking up for some time? Was he pursuing the other girl while he was still seeing you, just like he pursued you recently while still being with his now ex-girlfriend? What's to say that he wouldn't do this to you again? Why did he break up without warning? Why did he think it was okay to do it through a social networking site rather than talk to you directly? Why did he feel that it was okay to cut off communications? Did he consider how you might feel about his actions? And last but not least, what's different this time around? How can you be sure he won't do this to you again? What guarantee do you have that he's matured to the point that he'll talk to you about what's not working rather than take a hike? So you need to have a lot of serious discussions, and you need to feel comfortable with his answers and confident that he's grown emotionally. And until and unless you feel comfortable and secure, you can't risk becoming romantically involved with him again. If you enjoy the friendship, you could opt to keep the friendship, but only if it's good for you and if you are 100% safe. Okay? All right. So you hear how tough I am about protecting you. All right, here's the next question. And this one's called, My Girlfriend Lied to Me About Her Past. Okay, me and my girlfriend have been together for 2 years now. But at the beginning of our relationship, I always told her that the only way for us to make it last is to be 100% honest. And we told each other about our past sex partners. And she told me she only had sex with one guy in her hometown. But today her family put her on blast about all the times she used to skip school and do things with her friends. So I asked her about it, and long story short, she told me she had sex with 8 different guys, but she didn't want to tell me because she was afraid. I'm not mad at the fact she had sex with 8 guys. I'm just mad that she lied to me and continued to lie to me when it was always on her conscience. The only reason she told me the truth was because I brought the subject up again when we arrived home, but it was up to her. If it was up to her, she would have swept the situation under the rug like she does a lot of things. So my question is, am I right for leaving her? Now, it sounds like you made up your mind to leave her and that you want me to endorse your decision by telling you, yes, you're right to have kicked her to the curb. Now, I'm not a supporter of black and white thinking. Those who are emotionally and spiritually developed have expanded their minds beyond the dualistic black-white good-bad thinking and embraced a more non-dualistic worldview. So you've opted for a very punitive avenue, leaving her, which feels very punishing. So I encourage you to direct your thoughts to understanding yourself and why you feel the need to leave her rather than focusing on recruiting allies to support your decision. What are your feelings? Do you feel afraid? Do you worry that you can't trust her word? Would it help you to understand why a person might withhold the truth about past sex partners? Now, your girlfriend is engaged in a defense mechanism that's called avoidance. This is a defense that is present from birth. Even babies use this defense. Now, the problem is most people's defense mechanisms are not consciously selected. They form in infancy and childhood as a way of protecting us from pain and dreaded emotions and outcomes. So, for example, a kid who has parents who are very punishing will learn to lie in order to avoid a punishment or beating. And then the pattern of lying to avoid punishment or beating continues into adulthood. And I bet your girlfriend learned to avoid telling the truth because her parents were very hard on her. And you did make some reference to that, that they were hard on her. And as an adult, she was so afraid to lose you that she avoided telling you the truth. And in the end, defense mechanisms always bite us in the butt and bring about the very thing we try to guard against. So in this case, her avoidance of the truth to keep you from leaving her actually made you leave her. In other words, her worst fears came true after all. And I'm going to go a step farther and say that she may have sensed that you have a punishing thread to your personality, and fearing your punishment triggered her avoidant defense all the more. So in other words, your personality actually encourages a person like her to not be forthright. See what I mean? So the thing is, people are riddled with defense mechanisms. Nobody that you're ever going to meet will be free of them, including you. So if you could view her behavior from a more psychologically evolved
perspective, you would see that she really wasn't lying. She was trapped in a defense mechanism that she's probably been unconsciously using since childhood. She avoided telling you the truth to escape a beating or the loss of you. And if she's willing to own her defenses and work on becoming conscious of them and resolving them, you have a partner who's worth keeping. So I encourage you to not end it so fast. Okay? Now, I want to tell you, I got a question in my inbox this morning, and it broke my heart. So I want to take a moment to answer this question. It's very short, but not sweet. I happened to be an 18-year-old girl and recently confessed to my crush when I was still considered, I don't understand this because it's not really written in English, that it sounds like you're saying that's not something that should happen, a girl confessing her crush. And I swallowed my pride, and now after so much pursuing, we're dating. And I recently came to know about his ex, who he loved dearly, who he was once constantly thinking of and had long chats. And all this makes me greatly insecure, as I felt he doesn't love me naturally, and he did so only because I basically told him that I love him. He isn't attracted to me as he was to his ex, who was breathlessly beautiful and extremely smart. And this makes me go insanely depressed, and I've been crying for nights in a row. So the thing is, you have to be very clear when you say he's not attracted to you. How do you know this? Is he not giving you the right feeling? Does he make you think he's still in love with his ex? Does he talk about her? You have to be clear on whether this feeling of being unworthy is actually coming from you because you don't feel good enough and you're doing the compare and despair thing, thinking you're less than the girlfriend that he loved dearly. And in addition, thinking now, well, if he loved me, he would have asked me out, but he only asked me out because I pursued him, or he's only dating me because I pursued him. So you've got to be really clear here on whether you are harming yourself, that you have a low self-esteem and you're inserting a lot of meaning here that is not true, or whether in fact it is true that you don't get the right feeling from this guy. It's clear that you're just a placeholder until he can find someone else he's more attracted to. You got to use your instincts and you got to analyze what's really happening here. If you truly are not getting the right feeling from him, you don't feel he loves you and you don't feel attracted to him, then you may have to make the painful decision to end it. Because, you know, it's sort of like people have a taste for something. If I like chocolate ice cream and I hate vanilla, I'm never going to change my mind. I don't like vanilla. If you're vanilla and the chocolate, his ex-girlfriend, was his type, you're never going to be chocolate. And if this relationship is doing injury to you and constantly making you feel less than, then it's good to end it and find someone who thinks you're his chocolate. But before you make any decisions, you've got to be clearer on whether this feeling of being insecure is coming really from him or from you, and that you don't like yourself enough and you're judging yourself for having pursued him and making a case for how much he loves her so dearly. Because remember, he's not with her anymore. So how dearly could he have loved her if he's not with her? So I hope that that helps. So we're coming to the end of my show this week, and if there are any topics that you wish for me to address on the show, by all means, use the contact button at Ask Dr. Love Radio, and I will address the topics. And I hope that I get to meet you personally and have you join me at one of my retreats this summer. I'm not doing them at my home. As I said, I'm doing one at Kripalu, and that's filling fast. I'm doing another one at Lilydale. Kripalu is beautiful. It's a lovely, lovely resort in the Berkshires. All the top spiritual leaders go there. And I'll be able to spend a whole weekend with you, helping you reconnect and dialogue with your loved ones in spirit and work out unfinished business. I'll be doing the same experience at Lilydale, my retreat on the road. Lilydale is a medium's training school, but you don't have to be a medium to attend. People come in order to work with mediums and get help. And my Spirit at Sea cruise, I'm told, very, very few spots left. It's really, really selling like crazy. That'll be a whole week that we're together at sea. You'll be with me and my certified coaches, joining with a group of very spiritually evolved people, which will help supercharge your reconnection and your dialoguing experience. Plus, you'll be making friends for a lifetime, because other people who are going will be widows and widowers who will also be looking to make friends with you. And I know it's really hard to travel alone when you're a widow or widower. And so I just look forward to meeting you in person, because all the wonderful fans that I have who write to me on Facebook and Twitter and so on, I like to put more faces to you and have you join me at some live events. So that's all I have for you this week. And I want you to remember to honor what God has said to us. You have two ears and one mouth, so you'll listen more and talk less. So perfect the art of listening, and you're going to do so, so much to resolve the conflicts in your relationship. And in the event that someone that you had conflict with is in spirit, don't worry. It's never too late. I'll help you work that out too. See you next week on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
This has been Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. Visit Dr. Turndorf at AskDrLove.com. Follow her on Twitter at AskDrLove and on Facebook at / AskDrLove.